Tamattu is the one where you go in, you put your ihram on from before, you do your umrah, and after you finish umrah, you take a break. Okay? And after you take the break, because what day do you come in when you're gonna go for when you go into for your Hajj, inshallah, what day are you gonna get there? Eighth, right? So maybe like 7 days early, 6 days early, something like this, right? Maybe you get there on the second of Dhul-Hijjah, third of Dhul-Hijjah, right? And how long does your umrah take? A few hours, right? Very, very few hours. And once you're done, mashallah, you shave, you're finished, and then subhanAllah, you are now in Mecca and you can be there, do whatever you want, completely like normal. You wear your normal clothes, everything. After you finish your umrah, you're in Mecca. If you do tamattu, you're in Mecca and you get to just enjoy and do whatever you need to do while you're there for the next 4 or 5 days or so. Okay? Until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah comes. We'll talk about it, inshallah. Until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Keeping this in mind, this is called tamattu. What is qiran? Qiran is where a person, they spend the entire time in ihram. After they finish their umrah, they're going to stay in ihram until the days of Hajj. So you and I, we spend maybe a little bit of hours, finish your umrah, and you're done with your ihram, right? SubhanAllah, could you imagine 8, 9, 10 days in ihram, not able to even scratch your head normally? Not able to cover your face normally, not able to put a blanket over your head anymore, subhanAllah. It's difficult. My older brother, because his Hajj package last year was very difficult. So then what they did was they got him there on the 6th of Dhul-Hijjah. He literally bought his ihram the day before. And so when he got there, he said, "What's the point of breaking to do tamattu?" So he kept his Quran from the time of the 6th all the way to the end, subhanAllah. This is from the Sunnah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the second one. If you like to, inshallah, it's before you. It's your option. Of course, the easier one is which one? Tamattu. And I tell you, subhanAllah, if you're traveling with family, it's better you take the ease for yourself, right? It's better. Rasulullah said, if I could, I would have done tamattu, because it's easier for the ummah. Okay? But he did Qiran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The miqat are the points which you arrive. Okay? Don't worry about the names. What I need you to learn from this map is just one thing. Okay? When you look at this map before you, look at Dhul Hulaifa on the top here. Sorry, I don't have my clicker today. Dhul Hulaifa on the top. What is outside of Dhul Hulaifa on the top? Medina. Okay? Why is this important? Okay, it's important because if you are heading to Medina first, if you are heading to Medina first, who's heading to Medina first? Anybody? Okay, mashallah, half. Okay, if you're heading to Medina first, so you land whatever airport, but you're heading to Medina. You are outside of the miqat. The miqat is the area which you need to wear ihram if you're going straight for umrah. But if you're not doing straight umrah, what you are allowed to is that because you're going straight to Medina first, you are allowed to not wear your ihram and just stay in Medina in the beginning. Does that make sense for everybody? Because why? Because you're outside of the miqat. Okay? Now, if you are landing in Jeddah though and going straight to Makkah, now look at this. Where's Jeddah? Is it inside the miqat? 100%. So once you land in Jeddah, you must be in Ihram before that. So if you're going, whichever one you're doing, just be mindful. If you're in Medina first, you don't need to have Ihram because you're heading straight to the thing. And then when you reach Dhul Hulaifa, when you get to the Miqat later, then you're going to have to do it. We'll talk about it, inshallah. And if you're headed to Jeddah first, you'll need Ihram. Does that make sense to everybody? This is the beginning. What is Ihram? Ihram is, it's a state where many permissible things you had before now become impermissible. Okay, there are things that you could do before, now you can't do them anymore. So what do we mean? You can't wear the normal clothes. This is, by the way, for men. The first one I'm talking about is for men. This, you can't wear sewn clothing. So meaning like the stitched clothes, like your shirts, your pants, the jubbas even, you can't wear these things. Okay? You cannot cover your head. If you have a topi, you know, covering your head with the pagri, turban, etc., the imama, you can't wear these things. You can't cover the face anymore. Okay? You cannot wear scent or perfume in ihram. You cannot cut your nails. No shaving, no trimming, no cutting of any hair at this time. Even if you were to scratch your head and hair were to fall off, even that much, subhanAllah, you might have to give some sadaqah because the hair has fallen off. It's a very, very difficult position to be in. Okay, it's a very uncomfortable position. It is because, and I can tell you about the spiritual aspect, is that you have to remind yourself that when I die, it might not be an easy journey for me. Because when you leave this world, you leave in two pieces of clothing like your ihram. Your ihram really is a kafan. If you wanted to be buried, you could be buried in your ihram. because it is your kafan. Many of our ulama, they keep their ihram and say, when I die, use this as my kafan. So I want to remind myself, a reminder for everyone, that death may not be easy. That's a reminder. How difficult is this ihram? Imagine going through the hereafter, going through thousands of years, 50,000 years on Day of Judgment. How will we go through that, subhanAllah? This is a reminder for these types of things. So then you can't hunt. I don't think anyone here has their LTC to go and hunt in Makkah area anyways. And then the intimacy with the wife, no kissing, no touching, anything like that. Okay? Those things aren't allowed in ihram. And most important, again, more spiritual, وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Allah says, no fighting and arguing. If you want your ihram to be maqbool, you must recognize that no matter what people shout and yell at you, brother, it's okay, no problem. Allah Ta'ala said very clearly, no arguing, no fighting during Hajj. Allah said, absolutely not. So no matter what happens, dispute, arguments, everything, I'm here for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If you remind yourself, inshallah, your ihram will be accepted, inshallah. Okay, this won't demand a penalty if you argue with someone. But again, your Hajj is there to be accepted. So don't waste it just because you get upset at someone. Okay, and I mentioned this again and again about the stress. Because people, they have an expectation when you go there. I want you, my beloved brothers and sisters here, remove all expectation. You're coming from a first world country. And wallahi, you have so many ni'mah by living in a first world country. When you go there and you see the bathroom situation, and you see the plug situation, the outlet situation, the AC and the heat situation, the 106 degrees Fahrenheit situation, then subhanAllah, you say, Allah, oh, uncomfortable, uncomfortable. And then you get angry. SubhanAllah, when you have to share the Mina tent with 20 other people you don't know, Allahu Akbar, and then think about in your qabr, who you're going to be buried next to, SubhanAllah. It's difficult. I want you, inshallah, to reduce all expectations. Allah, I'm going for you. Whatever happens, I'll take it. And when you do that, inshallah, Allah will give you aram and comfort. You know, I tell you, SubhanAllah, just an experience. I took a Hajj group from here one time. It was a little difficult. Let's just say that. Okay? I got in the middle, SubhanAllah. The group was so upset. They said, your Maulana is this word and this word and this word. Oh, such kharab, evil things I heard. And even I was there in my own ears, I heard it. At the end, they cried and asked for forgiveness because they said that we were angry and stuff. I said, no, don't worry, everyone gets angry. But subhanAllah, I tell you, Allahu Akbar, I went there again with zero expectation. Even when they were cursing me, I felt Allah does barakah. I said, Allah is giving me rahmah right now, it's fine. This is why I want to remind everyone, inshallah. You're going to hear something ajeeb, don't worry about it, inshallah. Okay? If you end up violating any of the rules we talked about, sadaqah or sacrifice might need to be given. Okay. Beyond this, your watches you can wear, your glasses you can wear. You want to wear sunglasses, fine. If you want to wear your rings, it's fine. You want to use your belt, you know, like you have like the fanny pack, you can wear that too, right? So when you're wearing your ihram, as you know, the discomfort for men, you know, they have a box of ihrams for everyone at home. And they get a chance to go home and actually. So I wanted to, inshallah, give it for everyone. Does everyone have ihram? Okay, inshallah. I'll bring the box. One brother gifted it for the Hajj group. Inshallah, that's going. May Allah accept everyone. So inshallah ta'ala, I will show you. And just very quickly, I can use my rumal. No problem. Don't worry, I'll keep it PG. Don't worry. So obviously it's the two pieces of cloth, right? So you're going to use this and tie it, right? So you're going to see, because anyone, they used to wear longi. Anyone wear longi? Alhamdulillah. Good. Okay, the lungi, mashallah, is even more comfortable because the lungi is a circle. It's tied, it's strapped, and mashallah. The ihram is just a towel piece. It's like literally this, but longer. So, what you have to do for your ihram is that, look, I'll show you real quick. You want to tie it easy. It's okay, it's just only an accessory. So, you want to tie it tight like this. I would recommend this. Put this one in here. Okay, then you tap around. So, this one in here, put this strong. This one's strong. And then this one, inshallah, wrap it around, okay? And then you push, you pull like this underneath, and just make like a little belt for yourself here. Roll it up like this, okay? This one, mashallah, is very, very comfortable. Even look at this. You're good. Whatever you need to do, it won't fall. It won't fall. You have enough space too. Your ihram will come out like that. I recommend that, inshallah, ta'ala. It's not very hard to do. Get used to while you're at home. Practice a couple of times. That way you're comfortable, inshallah, okay? If you keep it like this belt, it's good for you. So again, you want to, again, inshallah, just wrap here and then wrap around, inshallah, and make it tight and firm for yourself. Just wrap around like this, okay? If you feel comfortable with that, alhamdulillah, that's good. If you feel like it's still kind of scary, as you know, this is like flap. There's nothing, you're not wearing anything underneath, right? If you feel uncomfortable, you can use the belt that we talked about and put the fanny pack underneath so it stays under, so it stays up with the fanny pack. That's also another thing you can do. The third option you have is if you want to use clips, you can use clips. I saw a brother use clips. It's permissible. It's fine. You know, it feels like a little bit against like the spirit of it, but it's okay, inshallah, if you feel like, you know, I'm scared more about issues. And I tell you, subhanAllah, people have issues. Okay, I don't want to make too many stories here. My father had an experience, his brother had an experience. And when your haram is exposed, subhanAllah, you didn't come to Hajj for that reason, you know? SubhanAllah. So that's something you can do, okay? This is the lower part. The upper part, you're gonna wear just like you just wrap yourself around like this. Just like this. Like that. And it'll wrap around you like this. Okay? That's how simple it is. When you're making tawaf with your ihram on, because you have to do your umrah, right? You're gonna do ittiba. Ittiba means to uncover this arm. All the right side. Jazakallah. All 7 rounds while you're making tawaf, all 7 rounds, you're going to be exposed your arm like this. Okay? You're gonna wrap underneath, put it over here. All 7 rounds, this arm is gonna be exposed. Does that make sense for everyone? Okay, so remember when you go for your tawaf, after you're done with your seven, you're supposed to cover it again. During sa'i, when you're wandering between two mountains, people sometimes leave this exposed. This is incorrect. Because again, the whole point of this uncovering was during the time of tawaf, not during the time of the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. So remember that when you're going to the two mountains, cover it again, inshallah, and walk normally. Does that make sense for everyone? Okay, I just want to mention that for the ihram. Does anyone have any question about the ihram? The clothing, just the clothing. There's one extra big piece to it.
Mask is fine, right?
So we'll talk about that. It's a good question. Just about the clothing piece. Huh?
Can't wear banyan. You can't wear the banyan. No.
What's a banyan?
Undershirt.
No. Just the two pieces of the cloth.
One more question. You see if something's good and do after waiting for the figure of Iraq, right? But before, can you use deodorant or something?
It's a very good question. I want to address that too. Very good. Any other questions just quickly about the clothing? MashaAllah, very good question. Alhamdulillah. So we're on the same page. When you're in your ihram, yeah. When you're in your ihram, men can use a blanket, okay? But you cannot cover your face or your head. It's okay. No, I think it's fine. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so this is like the most uncomfortable position. The AC is blowing at, you know, at 0 degrees negative Fahrenheit, and you want to cover your face, but you can't do that. You cannot even cover your head, right? You have to wrap your body around and let your face be exposed. This is the thing. You can use the blanket, but you cannot cover your face or head during the time of ihram. You can kill harmful animals. If a mosquito comes, it's fine. If some type of scorpion comes, bismillah, no problem. Do whatever, right? But again, don't worry about the small little animals that kind of bother you. If you kill them, there's no penalty on those things. Does that make sense for everyone? Okay. When it comes to ihram clothing, this is what we're saying here, right? It's going to be looking like this here. Okay. If you need clips like I just spoke about, you can do that, inshallah. It's fine. Give yourself enough room. The most important thing is have some space so you can walk properly. Thereafter, the last piece of our clothing is the slippers, the sandal that you need to wear. This is from the hadith of Rasulullah. Okay. Rasulullah says, who does not have slippers? He should wear socks, but he should cut them so they're below the Kaab. Okay. And this is more technical. Don't worry about the technical part. I just want to bring the hadith for you. So there's an explanation of the hadith. Where is that? Where Rasulullah is saying you can cut underneath. So they explain the bones. I'll show you a picture to make it easy for you. Basically, whatever you choose should be underneath that line. Anything on top of it, the top part, has to be exposed. That must be exposed. Another picture to give you a clear diagram. This piece here on your foot must be exposed. Okay? So everyone, if you want to just check your feet very quickly, there's a bone here. That bone piece must be exposed. Does everyone see that bone piece? It's like a little part that comes up a little bit. In Arabic, it's called the Ka'b. That bone needs to be exposed. Okay? So keeping this in mind, what kind of sandals can you wear? This is fine, for example, because again, it's like this type of V shape. It's going to be covering this part, and it's going to expose this part. Completely fine. You wear your flip-flops, also fine. This one, Adidas, for example, if you wear these types of sandals, this part covers the top part, and that's not permissible. Okay. Another one, for example, this type of sandal, also not permissible because you can see that the top strap is covering the upper portion. This one, what do you all think? Do you think it's permissible? Huh?
You need to check
The heel side. Very good. The back side might be. And the thing is that if your foot is small, maybe this part will actually be covering. over top part as well. If your foot does fit, and I've seen brothers who've done it, and that part is exposed completely, that could be fine too. Okay. And there's an exception, of course, if you cut, you'll see people there with cut hoofs. The hoofs, the leather socks, are cut in a way that it makes like a circle, like I just showed you from before. And so Rasulullah said this is jayz, this is permissible to use. Okay. When you choose your footwear, it's my recommendation two things. Number one, first and foremost, check with the alim to see if it's acceptable. We have many, many foot pictures. Everyone's sending their pictures to tell us if this is okay, this is okay. Completely fine. Because again, you want to make sure that you're there. You want to make sure it's maqbool, right? The second thing is there has to be aram. It has to be comfortable. Now I tell you, subhanAllah, people, they go there and they try to cheat or be very cheap when it comes to buying the sandal. And I've seen people while they were there, the flip-flops were destroyed, the sandal was gone, this one is ripped, and everything like that. Listen, you're going to go there and it's going to be, again, you're going to be ihram, you were in umrah for about a couple of hours. Does anyone know how long you're going to be in ihram for hajj? Roughly, yeah, 2.5, 3 days. Just about. Like 50 hours. That's a lot of time. That's the only thing you can wear on your feet. Get something comfortable for yourself. Get something comfortable. Even if you spend $50 on it, mashallah, it'd be nice, comfortable. I'd recommend again something soft, some memory foam, something that you feel good to walk in, okay? And sturdy, strong. Because it's one of the people who regret it when they go there and they bought something very weak and it ends up ripping, okay? So again, this is for the sandals for the men. The clothing we talked about for men. As for women's ihram, okay? For women's ihram, the rules that we talked about, all of them apply except for the clothing things. What do I mean? Is that we talked about the woman, she can't clip or trim or shave and everything. When it comes to the clothes that a sister wears, the sister can wear whatever clothes she wants. Completely comfortable, whatever. Provided, of course, she's covering her awrah and everything, right? The way the Muslim hijab should be. Beyond that, she doesn't have to wear specific clothing. She can doesn't have to wear specific sandals. She can wear whatever they want, right? SubhanAllah. Mashallah, you and I have to struggle. And sisters, mashallah, they can enjoy. It's fine. Okay, so the clothing they can wear is completely, right? Of course, only one thing is that they cannot cover their face, right? This is another issue that they have to keep in mind, okay? And I'll talk about the issue of the covering of the face in a moment. But does that make sense for sisters? For certain sisters, they try to buy the sandals. I said, no, sister, wear the nice shoes, wear the comfortable stuff, whatever works for you, sister, you can do. Completely fine. Does that make sense? Okay. So if she's menstruating, when it comes to ihram, she can still put on the ihram. She can say the words of ihram. She can say the words of ihram. But the only thing she cannot do is pray the two rakats. If she's in her monthly cycle, she can put on ihram. She can say the words of ihram. She can do a labbaik. The only thing she cannot pray her namaz. She cannot pray her two rakats namaz afterwards. Okay. You can use whatever scents before your ihram. Okay. You might be wondering, asking, what do you mean? How do I do this? The ihram starts when you say the niyyah. Your ihram will start when you say the niyyah, not when you put on the clothes. Okay? Before that, before you say the words, you could put on the deodorants, you could put on the scents, you can even, mashallah, completely perfume your ihram. This is from the Sunnah Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to make, with Aisha radiallahu anha, they used to perfume it to such a degree, this fragrance will stay there for a long time. And so I recommend that for everyone, inshallah. Because you're not going to have your normal clothes. You cannot put on perfume for the next two something days. So inshallah ta'ala, put it onto your clothing. So that way you feel comfortable inshallah ta'ala, okay? So prior to it, you could put on scents and things like that. For men, of course. For sisters, they should not use scents that go out. She can use her only body fragrances, something that is smaller for herself. That's okay. Because again, the hadith, to prohibit a woman from wearing scents that go out, right? This is not okay in the hadith. But for men, again, inshallah, you can wear whatever. Does that make sense for everybody? Even the deodorants you want to use, everything completely fine. Until you say the words. Once you say the words, and I'll tell you which words is coming. Once you say the words, then you have to stop everything afterwards. Okay? Women can wear whatever clothes they feel comfortable with, again, within the Islamic guidelines. They can't let a cloth touch their face. So if our sisters are accustomed to wearing niqab and covering their face, what Rasulullah has told us, what Aisha radiallahu anha has taught us, that sisters would still like to cover their face, right? So riders would pass us, Ms. Aisha radiallahu anha saying, when we were with Rasulullah while we were in ihram. So again, their faces are exposed. Whenever riders would come by, Aisha radiallahu anha said that we would actually pull down our dupatta, our unna, our hijab, and pull it down lower so that way it actually covers the face, so that way they don't see our faces. So she would be wearing her hijab like this, and she'd be pulling it down so that way they wouldn't see her face. And once they passed on, they would uncover their face again. This is permissible again. Again, the time of ihram is an exception. Sisters might not feel comfortable though. They like to cover their face. Completely fine. You can get like a really nice fancy hat like this, and then put the hijab over that, and so the way that it kind of dangles like this in front, that's fine. Okay, so a sister can wear the niqab or the hijab over that. That's fine as well. If you want to use like a sun cap, if you want to use this type of cap as well, she can let her headscarf dangle over it and basically be like this, suspended like this. If the cloth touches the face, there might be some sadaqah that she needs to give, but this is normal because the wind will blow and things like that. Does that make sense? Everyone clear on that issue? For sisters, inshallah, it's all right. So that way, if they have, and sisters, if they have questions too, do we have, should we? You can give them paper to write. If they want to ask, they can ask too as well. Everyone okay so far? Okay. Pre-ihram. So before your ihram, clip your nails, remove all unnecessary hair, trim your mustache, right? What's going to happen is you're going to fly out from here. You're going to go to maybe Qatar. You're going to go to maybe UAE, wherever it is you're going to go. You're going to land in the airport. In those airports, they usually have facilities for you to take showers and for you to get ready for your ihram. You're not going to be the only one there. Many other people are going to be putting on their ihram there too. So while you're there, inshallah, you can take your shower. You can do whatever you need to do. If you want to remove hair, if you want to do it before you go, that's fine. If you want to do it while you're there, completely fine as well. Take a ghusl, make wudu, put on your ihram, put on your perfume, right? Walk around completely normal, okay? It's okay right now. You just have the clothes on. You're not an ihram yet. Ihram is when you say the words, remember. Pray your 2 rakat sunnah prayer.
When we are here, we stop doing it from first July.
Yes.
Do you know applies for all the guys are going?
No, it's a very good question. So the question of when a person is, they're giving qurbani, do they have to not trim their nails or clip their nails and things like that? For the one who is giving it outside of the Hajj area, they should not trim or clip or anything. But the ones who are going for Hajj specifically, this is part of their sacrifice and routine. This is what Rasulullah taught us. Very good question. Keeping that in mind, you're also musafir. A musafir doesn't have to give qurbani anyways. If you like to give qurbani, this is because of, mashallah, your good heart, but you don't have to because you're not obligated to. Does that make sense? Okay, very good question. You pray your 2 rakats, sunnah ihram prayer. The prayer is sunnah of ihram. Okay, if you pray it while you're at the airport, it's probably the easiest. Okay, you might want to have like a prayer mat with you and everything like that. You can take a shower, right, while you're in ihram afterwards. You can take a shower. Don't use scents though. This is the most important thing. When you buy deodorants, if you're going to use them in ihram, make sure they don't have any fragrance if you want to. And same thing when you have shampoos or any soaps, fragranceless, no fragrance, no fragrance deodorant, no fragrance shampoo, soap, no fragrance shampoo. Okay, that's the only ones you can use during the time of when you're in your ihram. Does that make sense? The other thing you have to be careful of is when you're showering, you're gonna do this to your head, right? Okay. Now what happens is you covered your head. So when you have to use the towel, and again, it's a little bit of discomfort, right? This is the part of the routine. You're gonna wash one side of the head and wipe one side like this. Okay? Don't rub too hard. If you rub too hard, what's gonna happen? Hair's gonna fall out too. It's a little uncomfortable again. Make sabr with it. That's all. That's all I can tell you. It's part of the rules, okay? What are the
Stop rubbing their two problems.
Yeah, something small will fall naturally. Yeah, that's what it's something small. Yeah, and even if it's a little bit, usually at the end, people give like $20 sadaqah, something small, anyways. It's not too bad. Right? Obviously, when it becomes more severe, is like the big question, right? But a very good question. Usually, not such a big deal, anyways. But keep in mind, like, don't intentionally do it, right? That's the big thing. It's good.
In Haram, toothpaste, you can do any regular toothpaste, or that should also be like.
For the toothpaste, yeah. These in that time, you should also just keep the fragrance less is better. Although there's a little bit of difference of opinion, it's not as serious, but I recommend just using fragrances. Usually for Hajj, we don't really like to take risks. We opt for caution. Yeah. Just use miswak. Exactly. This is the intention you're gonna make. Verbally, you're gonna say. If you want to take a picture, you can. If you want to, if you have it in your Hajj books. You have booklets, inshallah. This will usually be there. Okay, I'll send a dua book. I will, inshallah. You're gonna, because you're gonna go there to do Umrah first, اللهم إني أريد العمرة فيسرها لي وتقبلها مني. والله I intend عمرة, make it easy for me and Allah accept it from me. Okay. As soon as you say these words, it should be done after your 2 rakat sunnah. You say these words, now immediately, now you're in ihram. Fully in ihram. Make sure your head is uncovered. Everything is exposed. Whatever we talked about, those types of things we talked about. No fragrance, no clipping, nothing. This will start from the words. Does that make sense? Okay. Not from the kafra, but from the kalam. Not from the clothing, but from the speech. Then you start your talbiyah. لبيك اللهم لبيك. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. You read this, inshallah. Make a tasbih for yourself. You should say it as much as you can. Maybe 100, 200 times, 500 times. You have to do it all the way till you reach the Kaaba, right? So go on for some time. Okay? Continue to make the talbiyah until you reach the Kaaba. Men will say it loudly, sisters will say it silently. Okay? Don't worry, whatever way you say it's fine. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about that? For the ihram, how do you put it on? The 2 rakats you pray.
Once you put on the ihram, then you pray 2 rakats.
Sunnah.
Sunnah. And make intention. And then once you read this dua, then pray.
Yes. You pray the 2 rakat sunnah, you say the intention verbally, and now you are fully in ihram from that moment that you say the words. Before that, if you took a shower normally, you could take a normal shower, put a normal perfume, everything. But as soon as you pray the 2 and then make the intention, then bas, now you're in ihram fully. Be careful after that. Ji?
Like we are leaving from the hotel in Medina, right? We can pray 2 rakat in hotel in Medina, and then basically when we are at reaching Mecca, at that time we should do the
Yes, at the time of when you're in your hotel in Medina, you can inshallah make your ihram from there. If you want to do inshallah, you can do it when you reach Dhul Hulayfa, which is the miqat area called Dhul Hulayfa. Okay, they will tell you when you reach there, so you can do it if you'd like. It's up to you, whenever. I recommend earlier the better, so you don't have to fall into risk, right? It's better just be safer, right? Only a couple more hours, it's not such a big deal. Does that make sense? Good.
After the book, wearing the cloth or before?
After.
So we wear the cloth, pray 2 rakat,
Yes.
Not near yet.
Yeah.
Near maybe before reaching the book.
Yeah. My recommendation is do right after the 2 rakat sunnah so you don't forget.
We make near.
Yeah.
And start the talbiyah.
Talbiyah.
What's the difference in when we do the umrah, regular umrah, we don't say talbiyah?
You have to say talbiyah too in umrah too. Yes.
In umrah?
Yes. No, that's okay. This is what we're learning, right? And we need reminders. Good reminder, right? Very good question. Okay. So, anyone else have any quick questions about ihram? Go ahead.
Then prayer, then verbalizing.
Yes. In that order. Okay. Prior to that, again, be comfortable. You might be in the airport for some time until you pray the 2 rakats at the end. Okay. And then, inshallah, I'll just make the intention afterwards. And it's a long time and it gets cold. Airports are cold, right? You're not going to be wearing any underpants. It's very chilly. Okay. Your supplies. So that's for ihram. This is the suggestion for you. You're traveling for about 2 weeks. So please, inshallah, be smart when you pack. Okay. You're going to basically need 3 luggages. Like, and what I mean is that you're going to need a big luggage. You're going to bring your regular stuff in. You're going to need a small luggage for when you go from Mina. Okay. Big luggage, small luggage for Mina, and you should have like a small little backpack or a little fanny pack, whatever it is for your personal belongings, personal items. Okay. And I'll explain that more when we get to each one. But my thing is that you have to remember, you're going to have in your hotel room, you're going to have your big luggages. It's going to be in the hotel room. They're going to lock it the whole time because you're not going to be in a hotel the whole time. You're going to go from Mecca to Mina. Mina's going to be like an hour or something drive. It's a little bit far off, right? So you're going to go off from there. Now your big luggage is going to be there. What's going to carry with you wherever you go in Mina? It's going to be your small little luggage, okay? But even then, while you go there, Mina, you're not even going to stay the whole time. You're going to go to different areas, and then you're going to even have even less to carry. Do you have a question? Okay, the personal link. Okay, sure. Okay, so what I recommend is have a good supply list for yourself. Have a second ihram, a travel belt. Use a backpack, a strong backpack. Don't use a weak one. You get like, the drawstring backpacks, but very thin, weak ones. They rip and then you have difficulty. You should have normal sandals, normal shoes for the backpacks that you have. What I recommend for everyone in Shalatala is they carry two backpacks, meaning you have a big one and a tiny one. The big one is for all your belongings. Your tiny one is for your sandals. Because you're not going to wear your sandals when you enter the Kaaba area, for example, or you need to put them away. You should put them in that small bag and then put them away in your book bag. Okay? Have a big one, have a tiny one. Put your sandals inside the tiny one. Why are you putting them away? You don't want to get robbed. Okay? Very, very easy. You lose your sandals, that's it. You lose your whole life in that time. You don't, there's nothing for you afterwards. Okay? So again, keep something small for yourself. A simple phone if you want. An umbrella if you want. A spray bottle is good because it gets very hot. Scentless deodorant, scentless soaps is what you supply, try to get for your supplies, okay? Sleeping items, mainly for Muzdalifa. Muzdalifa is that night that you're going to spend basically outside in camping. When you're in Muzdalifa, I want to remind everyone, they're going to provide you some foam mat, something they're going to give you. Okay, it's like this little thing that, like a yoga mat. They give you that to sleep on the ground. You're going to be sleeping on the ground. It's just you and the rocks and the pebbles underneath you. Okay, they're going to give you that. If you need a little bit more comfort, I suggest packing something extra, like a foam mat, sleeping bag, fleece blanket, things like that. This is fine. Some people do bring tents at that time. Did you get it?
Yeah, what you have to do. Yeah. Allow
The sleeping bag or the tent, the thing that you need a little extra if you need it at that time. Also packing a blanket because it does get cold. For Muzdalifa, you're going to need this. Again, in Muzdalifa, you don't have any luggages with you. Your big luggage in the hotel, your little luggage in the Mina tent. All you have is the backpack with you. So you want to pack light anyways. But if you'd like to bring something extra for yourself, you can do that. It's fine. I recommend a blanket specifically. It's very good for that time. Other things, the mask, of course, you cannot wear in Ihram. Yeah, just remember sleeping mask. You can't wear it during Ihram. Outside Ihram, you can wear it completely fine, okay? So the tasbih, if you need, if you want to bring a little bag for yourself, like I talked about. The face mask, again, not in Ihram again. These are things that you can do for yourself. Okay. Any questions about any items that you feel like you should bring? Any packaging for yourself? Yes. The sabel can be sewn. Yeah. Those things which are considered like accessories. Those are fine to wear during Ihram. Okay? So your backpack can be sewn and your belt can be sewn. I mean, if you need. I'll give you some stories later on. I'm trying my best not to give so many stories because, mashallah, we've been doing this for some time and ajeeb things that people have gone through. Even myself, subhanAllah, so many things we went through. So if you don't really need the extra things, but again, you're traveling and just be careful. Whatever you bring for travel, you should be careful of that. Okay. The cash and passports, I would recommend, and this is my suggestion. Again, your hotel will be locked, right? And if you'd like to bring a lock for your stuff, you can do that as well. That's fine. But again, like don't risk anything that you're not willing to lose, you know? So if you don't feel comfortable putting in the luggage or you don't feel comfortable putting in the Mina luggage, you should keep it on your person. You know, my uncle taught me something very nice when I was young. He said that as long as you have your money and your passport, you're fine wherever you go. Everything else can be lost. But if you have your money and your passport, you're fine. So my thing is that I always kept it on me and my person. So that way, there's always risk, right? So, mashallah, may Allah make it easy. I don't want to bring up all the bad parts again, right? I want you all to have sabr and make it easy. But like there are people that do steal and things like that. It is there. It's a reality. Again, be smart. Go in there with understanding that something bad might happen. I should be ready for those things. So when we had like the fanny pack. We put down the there was a separate like internal zipper to put our passports and money in, right? And that was smarter, so that way people wouldn't just take it off from the front, right? So just keep that in mind, inshallah. When you're going for Umrah, you all seen how crowded it gets. It's like two or three times that when you go for Hajj. It's even more people. You're moving so slowly when you're doing the tawaf, so slowly. Everyone's around you. You don't know what's gonna happen, right? So be mindful, inshallah, okay? Right. Is there any questions, any other ones? Okay. First, when you're traveling with sisters, someone asked this question when I did this other program. When you're traveling with sisters, please, inshallah, remember, move at the pace of your women folk. Okay, if you have to hold her hand while doing it, it's jaiz, it's fine. If you need to hold her hand while doing it, then please inshallah be with them. Okay, don't rush past them because we've seen many sisters who've gotten lost and many other problems, right? My mother-in-law got lost one time. My mother got lost. My father got lost. My mom was looking for my father, like, subhanAllah. So these things happen. So, Michelle, make sure you hold on. Someone asked, they said, because we tell them the colors the sisters should wear, like black or white, colors that are not so, they don't catch the eye. Someone said that what happens if I want to, if I lose them, I want to wear the very nice color, like a red color or a blue color. I said, brother, no matter what color you get, okay, in that crowd, you're not gonna find them. I'm telling you as well. You think you're the only one who's thinking like that? There's other at least another 300 people thinking that if I make my wife wear red, I can find her. You're not gonna find her. The best way is that's it, grab them by the hand and hold on to them, inshallah. Okay. So keeping that, yeah.
The arm for men, does it have to be white?
It's sunnah to be white. And I recommend that, right? For everything we talk about, again, respected brothers and elders here, that you are giving this much money to have an accepted hajj. And also, inshallah, take whatever caution, whatever is the best, do those things, inshallah, okay?
Ihram will be removed and we wear the
Yeah.
shower cloth. Is that anything?
Will anything break the ihram? Really, nothing's going to break your ihram until you get out by yourself. Manually, you have to shave your head and everything. That's the only thing. If you take off the clothing during shower, completely fine.
We change the towel
Yes.
or shower cloth.
Yes. And you can do that. But I'll talk about the shower when we get to the Mina tents. Any other questions, please?
You talked a lot about things you need, but it looks like it has a lot of movements around, right? But if you don't talk about something to eat,
To eat.
yes, how about the food? How are the food? What kind?
So, mashallah, the nice thing about this time, and the only thing I'll tell you, so alhamdulillah, you'll be fed. Okay, you'll be fine. Inshallah, if you like to keep little snacks for yourself, you can. But when you go to the Arafah, for example, you're going to go to a tent. The Arafah tent will have food for you. When you go to Mina, you have like a full feast for yourself. Alhamdulillah, this isn't something very nice. You'll eat well. Your hotel will have nice food as well. Right, the only thing you have to be careful is like when you go outside, the Zabiha issues, right? Because unfortunately, given these Middle Eastern countries, unfortunately, they get very much machine slaughter in countries which are non-Muslim, right? They get imports from Brazil, etc. It's very sad. I'll send a list, inshallah. You can send it out to anyone who's concerned about this issue. That way, inshallah, they can eat whatever restaurants are in Medina or Mecca, inshallah, okay? That way, it's easy for you all. Again, alhamdulillah, whatever makes it easy. My phone is on the whole time during Hajj for any questions. So if you have any issue that comes up, can I tell you, things happen on the spot, you need help. So I'm at your service, inshallah, okay? So, but yeah, beyond that, if you want to keep little snacks for yourself, you can, but you probably won't need. Okay. You're going to carry Zamzam with you, the bottle of Zamzam. You have an empty bottle, just fill it up, and you'll be fine. Okay. Any other question?
What about people eating and throwing the wrappers around?
And this is our Muslim country problem, unfortunately. We are not very careful with our, they bring in bulldozers. And huge, like these huge trucks to just pick up all the waste after Hajj. It's huge. In Muzdalifah, for example, you see it at the end when you're leaving, so much waste is there. So many grips and the wrappers, everything's bad. Be mindful, of course. Be careful as much as you can. But I tell you, subhanAllah, you all know. They tell you how do you dispose something. Just roll down the window, just throw it outside. Right? This is how it is, right? May Allah forgive. No, subhanAllah. May Allah grant us hygiene and good ethics, inshallah. Okay. So the days of Hajj are just these five. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Your Hajj is going to start from the 8th and finish on the 12th. This is your days of Hajj. Ihram is much harder than the Hajj, trust me. Just understand the Ihram, that's the thing, right? For this, you're going to see, we have travel locations. The first and 8th is going to be at Mina. The 9th is going to be at Arafah. The 10th, you're going to see Muzdalifah, Mina, Masjid al-Haram, if possible. Day 4 is going to be at Mina. Day 5 is going to be at Mina. I ask everyone here, what do you think is your camp, your base in these 5 days? Which place are you going back again and again? Mina, this is your station. For the next 5 days, that's where you're going to basically be living. And you're going to keep coming back and forth between Mina, going to the different, what we call the different sha'air, or the different areas of Hajj. Okay? The masha'ir. So now, which day do you think is the busiest? Look at the map. Look at what we have here.
Next week.
Yes. As you're seeing, you're doing so much on that day. Okay. Arafah is difficult because of the dua, but really the hardest day is the day number three. Okay. So, but keep in mind, after the 10th, like on the 10th, you're going to break the ihram that you have. So that's why I want you to remember. It's not the full 5 days you're going to be in ihram. It's just the day 10 you're going to be on ihram. Does that make sense? And I'll explain it all, inshallah. At most, you're going to be in ihram 50 to 55 hours. Mentally get yourself ready, right? It depends on when your qurbani will be done. When you're there, you're going to see this is a map. I'll explain each point. Don't worry about it. Right? This is basically you're going to be going Mina back and forth there, coming back around. First day, the 8th. 8th, you're going to start to get ready to go to Mina. Mina is the tent that you are seeing. The tent you're going to have there for yourself. Depending on your Hajj group, it depends where you're going to be located. I'll explain that in a little bit, inshallah. You're going to first and foremost, on the 8th, you're going to be in your hotel room. Okay? After Fajr, after Ishraq, you're going to take your shower. You're going to put on your perfume. You're going to cut whatever you need to cut. Trim whatever you need to trim. Get yourself again ready for ihram again. Okay? Where are you going to do ihram from? From the hotel room. You pray the two rakats, you do your ihram, you make the talbiyah, you make the zikr again, you do everything, show you the niyyah again, inshallah, make the niyyah, and then you're in ihram again. You're going to do it from your hotel room, you're going to go down and meet your Hajj group, and you're going to go off to the Mina tents that you have, okay? That's when you get yourself ready with the small luggage and everything we talked about from before. Does that make sense so far? You could put on your ihram from any place. That's what we tell you in that time. You just make it from your hotel room, it's fine, right? Allahumma inni, what are you going to say now? You're going to say, Allahumma inni uridul hajja fayassiru li wa taqabbal minni. Oh Allah, I intend Hajj, make this easy for me and accept this from me. Okay? Before you said Umrah, now you're going to say Hajj. Okay? This niyyah doesn't have to be made in Arabic, but again, it's better to learn it the way that Rasulullah taught us to do, of course, right? Then do your talbiyah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, right? And then again, you cannot do what we talked about before. Don't trim, fragrances, no relations with the family, etc., etc. Covering face, covering head again for men that we talked about. Also, just by the way, please don't bring back souvenirs from Makkah, Medina. People picking out grass. No one goes, well, I got carpet pieces from Medina, Masjid Nabawi. I said, you're a thief. You are a sadiq. How do you steal from Masjid Nabawi? SubhanAllah. People don't think, they think it's barakah. There's no barakah in stealing. I said, you got adab. I said, we got barakah. I said, no, you got adab. Okay, don't take things that don't belong to you. If you want to purchase it, you can purchase, mashallah. They have nice jainamazas that you can purchase. Don't steal pieces, okay? Same thing, there are penalties involved with plucking out even grass from the haram area. People don't know. So be careful about these things, okay? This is a side point. Inshallah, you guys are smart enough not to do that. You're going to head to Mina after Ishraq time. Whatever time they tell you to be downstairs, you be downstairs, you go by bus, inshallah. You're going to head to Mina the whole day from Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr. Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha on the 8th, Fajr on the 9th. One whole day you're going to be spending it in Mina, okay? While you're there, it's just a day to relax for you. In Arabic, it's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of nourishment, the day of refilling. On that day, inshallah, you have some talk, some dhikr, some Quran to finish, have a routine that's ready for yourself. Maybe you want to do one khatam while you're there the whole time. Make that intention, inshallah. This is the 8th day, you can do a lot, inshallah, okay? That day, you're going to see when you enter your tent, and I'll explain it, inshallah, when you get more. You're going to go in there, and you're going to see these little sofas in there. And the sofas, if you were to pull them, they become small little beds, okay? They're all stacked next to each other. They have small little areas behind the sofa for your luggage. They have places on top for your luggage, too. And every single one of them is right next to each other. Every single one of them is right next to each other. And so you're going to be sleeping in that small little area with about maybe 20, 25 different people you never met your whole life. This is where you're going to be with them. Small little camp area you're going to have, okay? In that time, mashallah, you get to know each other, get to learn from each other, get to benefit from each other, right? This is the main thing, just to kind of socialize and be okay. You're going to walk outside. Again, you go inside your small little tent room. You go outside, you're going to see the bathrooms out there. You see refreshments there, you're going to see food there. All the things will be there for you. Amenities, okay? It's a bigger tent area and smaller rooms inside those tent areas. So you have the room inside, you go outside, you have this all this area to walk around. Okay, and again, it's very nice, mashallah. They make it very comfortable for the people come traveling from the US, okay? So keeping this in mind, I'll tell you about the nice things. Then when you go in there, subhanAllah, you're going to hear the most ajeeb adhans. One person is giving the chainsaw adhan, another one is giving the rake adhan, the lawnmower adhan. Everyone is. If you had trouble waking up or Fajr before, these adhans will wake you up. If you had any trouble before, you're going to hear Ajib chorus, you know, SubhanAllah at that time. People are going to, you're going to have such difficult, it's tough, it's tough, right? And then you want to turn off the AC, but there's no button for it. And now everyone needs the AC, so now it's freezing and you can't do anything. You can't cover your head. What can you do, right? Or you have the opposite problem. The AC doesn't work. Allahu Akbar, right? SubhanAllah, right? And now what are you going to do? These types of things happen. Mentally get yourself ready. You're going to be in there for 5 days. These things could happen for yourself. You're going to want to have a spot near the outlet, right? And then everyone put their outlet pieces there so you don't have any place for yourself. So what should you pack to make sure you don't have this problem? Have a power bank so you don't have to worry about those problems. Does that make sense? Again, you're going to be there. You could be there for the next day. Mentally get yourself ready for that. You're going to be wondering, where is the masjid you're going to pray? There is no masjid to pray. You are going to be praying in your tent. Your group leader will tell you that we're going to pray Dhuhr at this time, Asr at this time, Maghrib Isha at this time. You're going to come and pray at those times, okay? If you are Musafir, you're all going to be Musafir. You're going to be praying how many rakats for Dhuhr? To Asr to Isha to make your witr, of course, after your Isha. Okay, does it make sense? You'll be Musafir the whole time, so keep that in mind. And the last reminder I need to give you for this day, do not cover your head with the blanket, okay? Again, I have to remind you, right? Inside, you're going to see it. This is an old picture. Nowadays, they have like nice little sofas that you can sit down. Okay. Think about it like this. You're going to be sharing a cabin with many other people. This is what it is. Mentally, you're going to be sharing a cabin with so many other people. When you have this in your mind, please, inshallah, remember you're not the most important person in the whole universe. We sometimes forget about other people in the world. And these people are also doing Hajj like we're doing Hajj. Khidmat se khuda milta hai. From serving people, you'll get Allah Ta'ala. Learn to serve each other. Bring water bottles for each other. Be nice to each other. The stone way is going to be nice, right? People, trust me, the more you care about others, Allah will take care of you. So please keep that in mind. If you're thinking about myself, me, myself, and I, it becomes very difficult. I tell you, one sister, when she went into her Hajj tent, right? So you have your room on the left, and on the right side will be like the sister's one. So they have a separate area for theirs, right? So now, mashallah, brothers are used to kind of like living in smaller areas and being with one another. One sister walks in, she sees that one sister has taken up her territory. Three sisters have taken up territory. She's taken up three spots for herself. She was so angry. Within the first hour, these sisters were arguing. She threw a phone at the other sisters. Ajib. Stuff with a lot of Ajib. And this is like the battleground you enter. People's nafs is going haywire. Because again, you can't even control the AC anymore. SubhanAllah, you and I at least have this blessing that you're here. Alhamdulillah, you can control the temperature. There you have no control. You can imagine how stressful it becomes. So you have to endure and be patient with these people as much as you can explain it. But trust me, people there are very much like, we are here to be served. No, you came here to serve Allah Ta'ala, to serve His deen, to do your Hajj. Remember this, inshallah, make it easy for you. There will be difficulties. Rasulullah said, the reward of patience is Jannah. Okay? So that was the eighth. You're going to go up to the ninth. After again the Fajr. After again the Fajr time. After sunrise. You can head to Arafah. This is Arafah that we talked about, the mountain. Mount Arafah. Arafah is the mountain, okay? This is the beautiful picture that you see. It's a brown mountain, but because of all these hujjaj who have ihram on, it becomes completely white, subhanAllah. So to remind us about Qiyamah. Qiyamah is going to be like that. It mentioned that Adam alayhi salam, and when he first landed, he landed in Arafah, and the Day of Judgment will be in the same plain of Arafah as well, subhanAllah. So many beautiful things about this place. When you go there, you're going to be there until. So look, you're going to be there from, you're going to go after Fajr. You're going to be there Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Okay? I'm sorry. Dhuhr, Asr, and Maghrib. Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib. You're going to be there from early morning all the way to sunset time. All in Arafah. Okay? When you go there, if you can catch, there's a masjid there called Masjid Namira. If you can catch the imam there, you can combine your Dhuhr and Asr prayer. It's according to our madhab. Okay? This is the only time where you can combine Dhuhr and Asr. For us as Hanafis, you could combine Dhuhr and Asr when you reach the Imam at Masjid Nabira. Okay? If you cannot catch it with him there, then you pray it at your regular times. If your group is praying together, they might do it. But we recommend that you pray Dhuhr in its time and Asr in its time. Okay? Remember, if you can catch the Imam, you do. If you cannot, you pray Dhuhr in your time and Asr in its time. Don't worry. People are worried that people will look at me different. I tell you what I saw with my own eyes on Arafah day. They were praying outside. The man was praying Dhuhr 4 rakats. He's already Musafir. He's praying four rakats. And he's not doing, he's praying Dhuhr out loud. Qiraat was loud. The next two rakats, he's making dua out loud. He gave salam, then he stood up to the Asr four rakats. He's leading a whole jamaat out loud. SubhanAllah. I tell you, no one's going to mind if you pray two rakats in the tent at Asr time. Don't worry, inshallah, okay? It's fine. Again, if you catch the imam, you pray Dhuhr Asr together. If not, you pray them both in their proper times. The whole reason why you put Zohar and Asr like together in the first place, because the whole time is for dua and crying. What are you doing in Arafah? You should have a long list of duas. Long list of duas. Ya Allah, I wanted this for myself and this for myself, this for myself. Make a long list for yourself, right? Start writing it out from now. So that way, inshallah, you are fully prepared for this time, inshallah. Make lots of dua, cry and cry and cry. This is the time. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Zohar all the way to Maghrib time. He's raising his hands like this, making dua on Mount Arafah, on the mountain. What are you and I going to do? Sometimes you're going to go to the mountain. You're going to have your umbrella. You're going to take your family there. You're going to come back down. You're going to go back in your tent. You're going to stay in your tent sometimes. You're going to go back and forth, go outside, inside. You know, you make it easy for yourself. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was on the mountain the whole time. It's very difficult. Do you imagine how hot it is? And thereafter, you have to be up there making dua the whole time. SubhanAllah. So keep this in mind, of course. You have family and things like that. Whatever you can do for yourself, inshallah, ta'ala, okay? You go in there. You should be remaining and busy with Quran, zikr, dua until sunset. Standing, sitting, inside or outside. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, La ilaha illallah, wahdu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamdu wa ala kulli shayin qadir. It's third kalima. You read this zikr, inshallah, Rasulullah said to do it. Make like 1,000, maybe like 500, whatever is easy for you, inshallah, ta'ala, okay? So whatever works for you. Yes?
There are many people they're all on
Yes. Yes.
very hard to get.
Yes.
You may not even get to any big amount. It's hard for you to come back. Is it necessary?
Very good question. Is it necessary to be on Mount Arafah? Is the question? It's not necessary for you to be there. You are when you get to your tent area, you're on the plains of Arafah. It's called the plains. This is where you have to be. The mountain of Mustahab is called, you know, it's the Jabal al-Rahma, right? It's the mountain of mercy. So it's recommended if you can. If you can't do it, it's fine. Again, whatever is, it's already going to be very difficult. You're going to see, right? MashaAllah, you have all the food and amenities inside, but you're going to feel a little bit of hardship. You have to take a shower on the day, right? Sunnah to take a shower. So you have to go to that area. There's like a bathroom area, like all these stalls. You go in there to basically put down the spray and wash yourself. You can get the ihram wet. It's fine, right? Just put it on, spray yourself down, because the ihram is going to dry up in like 10 minutes when you walk outside. That's how hot it gets, right? It's going to be difficult anyways. If you can get there, you can. You don't get as lost because it's morning time, it's daytime. The worry is that when you get to Muzdalifah, which I'll get to in a second. Does that answer your question? Yeah, but you don't have to be there. Does that make sense? Yeah, go ahead.
Rafat is all open area. There's no covered area. There's covered area.
There is a, yes, in the mountain, there's no covered area. In your tent, you have a full covered area. In your tent, yeah.
But there are no tents in Arafat, right? And there is no tents.
There's gonna be a big tent for your group. You'd probably be sharing with like two or three other groups inside the tent. Okay?
It's for only for
Just for the
day
day
camp.
camp. You're not gonna be staying there. No.
Only in Mina.
Yeah, but I mean, you can go if it's too hot outside. You
Yeah.
know.
Question is, you can't cover your head, but can you use umbrella?
You can use umbrellas. Very good. Any other question quickly about Arafah? Remember in this time, lots of dua. You're going to connect with Allah. Make a list, right? Think about it for yourself, for your family, your friends, all the Muslimin, people of Philistine, your masjid, right? All these people, mashallah, make dua, right? You can make this, inshallah, especially after Asr as well. And remember, this is a life-changing moment. This is the time where after this, Rasulullah said, Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. If you do this, inshallah, you have, this is the title, a haji. You become Haji after this. It's a big title. On Qiyamah, you'll be remembered with this. You know, SubhanAllah, how will a Haji be? Someone whose life has changed, comes back, he doesn't commit sins anymore. No more guna, no more haram. You make full tawbah at this time. Allah, I'm guna gar. On this day, you ask forgiveness from everyone. Allah, please, everyone, forgive me for the sake of Allah. This is the time to change. Please remember that spiritually, this is the most important thing. That on that day, you're saying, Ya Allah, what kind of person was I? I didn't deserve to be on this Hajj. Even the money that we spend, really. When you see the Jannah that you get for this, you say, Allah, how could this money even pay for this Jannah? It's unbelievable what you'll get, inshallah ta'ala. So please, inshallah, remember it's a life-changing moment. Take it seriously, of course, right? Okay. Yes.
You make one change of alpha. You can't face the Qibla somewhat.
You face whatever direction you can. If you face towards Qibla, it's better. Okay. After sunset. Okay. So you're there from Dhuhr all day to Maghrib time. You're going to do the one thing that you never do in your life. When the Maghrib time comes in, you're going to see that, subhanAllah, no one's going to pray Maghrib. They're all going to start walking out of Arafah. And you're going to keep walking and walking. You're going to go back to your bus. Your bus will leave whatever time it leaves. Depends again, right? They have all these buses going in one place, right? You're going to head out to Muzdalifah. Arafah is the mountain. Muzdalifah is the camp. It's a big, big camp area. Just open area. There are no tents, nothing there. This is the time when there's absolutely nothing there, right? This is the beautiful, beautiful pictures that we get of Muzdalifah here, right? Muzdalifah, mashallah, from aerial looks beautiful. This is what it looks like when you're on the ground in Muzdalifah, okay? When you go there, subhanAllah, you are there, and the first thing you're gonna do is that once you land there, you are now you are not, Maghrib time has completely left by the time you get there. It's gonna be Isha time. This is the time where you're gonna combine both Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha. Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha, you're gonna pray. Okay? This is where your group is gonna come together, your Hajj leader is going to lead, the Imam or whatever is going to lead them. Inshallah ta'ala, in that time, okay? You're gonna perform Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha. Does that make sense? You're gonna perform Maghrib and Isha in the following order: one adhan, one iqama. Don't worry, the imam will tell you. Okay, don't worry, inshallah, you should know. That one iqama, the fard of Maghrib, the fard of Isha, 3 rakats Maghrib, 2 rakats Isha. And if you like to keep your habit of sunnah, just pray all your sunnahs afterwards and make your witr, okay? 2 rakats of Maghrib sunnah and 2 rakats Isha sunnah, and then your witr afterwards, inshallah. Okay, when you go there, subhanAllah, you're gonna see all these people just they're putting down their mats on the ground and just sleeping out there, right? And subhanAllah, you're gonna see that they're gonna be the men are gonna be sleeping next to the men, and the women are gonna be sleeping next to the women. Okay, it's okay. What I recommend, inshallah ta'ala, is that when you go there, sleep next to your bus. The bus that's gonna be parked there, you should sleep near it so that way it's easy for you. Because why? There are millions of people that look exactly the same. There are really no landmarks there. There's really no markers there. You might get lost. Okay? The bathrooms are there for you. There are bathrooms there, but it's very easy to get lost while you're there. You be very careful, okay? This is, by the way, why I'm with Muzdalifah. Brother asked a question about food. You might want to grab some snacks from Arafah, because at nighttime, you might not get lots of food afterwards, okay? They're going to have little snacks for you. This is the time to pack something from the Arafah time. This is a good question, right? So now while you're there, I remember one brother, subhanAllah, there are like millions of people there. Wallahi, there are millions of people lying down there, right? And I tried to show my family because, you know, no one, they might not get this experience, right? So I tried to show them by calling a video call, right? This one brother's like, delete the video. How dare you take a video of my family and stuff like that? I said, like, brother, I'm not looking at your family. Wallahi, it's one of people there as well. It's very uncomfortable, right? People are lying down, right? SubhanAllah, some brothers, again, brothers sleep with brothers. Don't go near the sister side, please. Don't be the weird guy. Ajib, people are very weird, SubhanAllah. Okay? At that time, SubhanAllah, be a very nice, you're going to put down your little foam mat. You know, put down something extra you have on top of it. This is the time I recommend to have a blanket. It's not a blanket, right? You're not gonna have a blanket. Okay, because again, it's just the mat and the ground underneath. That's it. This tent area, the camp area, that's all you're gonna have. Put the blanket on top of you, inshallah, you sleep. You're only gonna get maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep, really. Okay, whatever you get, you get. Okay, I tell you, subhanAllah, for me, the sleep of Muzdalifah was the best sleep of my life. I don't think I've got anything better than that. Till today, subhanAllah, that sleep was so mubarak. Okay. You sleep near the inshallah the bus area, right? And if you, the other thing you have to do at Muzdalifah, again, just sleep in the camp area. That's it. Just sleep outside. 70 pebbles you need to take. There are a whole bunch of stones there. This is when you need a small little water bottle for yourself, empty water bottle. And just take in the pebbles, just put in. You put about 70 in there because you might need extra. That's it, right? You're going to need about 7 per pillar because you're going to stone the pillars, right? Put in the pillars, the pebbles inside the water bottle, fill it up as much as you need. Keep some extra for yourself, and that's all you need to do for that. That's all there is to do, okay? So that's for the next stoning of the next 3 days. Does that make sense for everyone? Again, the size that you need to get is the water bottle, the mouth of it will tell you it's the right size. Okay? So don't worry about what it looks like. If you can fit inside the water bottle, it's good enough. Is that okay? It's a good, very good question.
The stone and sending smallest is the preferred.
Yeah, smaller the preferred. Yeah, I'm gonna get to the stones in a little bit. Just this is the crazy part. Everyone's okay, right? We're fine. Good, alhamdulillah. You asked forgiveness from everyone. Again, people make mistakes. I told you, subhanAllah, people yelling at each other, shouting at each other. And please be mindful about getting lost. I tell you, Muzdalifa is a critical moment because you will travel too far. You may not find your bus again. Everything looks the same there, and it's hard to find. And during our Hajj experience, one dada, he got lost. One uncle, one grandfather, he got lost. And subhanAllah, the bus was going in the morning. They couldn't find him. Everyone was crying and stuff. So myself and the Hajj team leader, we both got out of the bus and we said, we'll go find him. And subhanAllah, we're out of the bus. We're looking for him. He was like half a mile away. Like, subhanAllah, he was far. He went to some random area for the bathroom area. Could you imagine? And so then we had to grab him, and we're wondering we'll get the bus again. Wallahi, subhanAllah, the bus was in the same spot. SubhanAllah, like Allah Ta'ala kept it in the same spot for us, mashallah. The bus is not gonna move, you know, subhanAllah. They move so slow. And it was right in the spot, mashallah, that we needed. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But it's scary. If you need to use the bathroom, try to go with someone else. Try to go with two people or three people so that way you don't get lost, okay? Drop a pin if you drop a pin for your location. That also helps out a lot as well, okay? Those things you have to keep in mind for Muzdalifah, right? If you can, you can pray tahajjud. If you can wake up and you can do that, it's completely fine. And the best dua I tell you, subhanAllah, you ask Allah that Allah accept everyone's duas. This is one of the beautiful duas. Ya Allah, accept the duas of everyone. And Allah Ta'ala, because He's so kind, He'll say, you made dua for everyone's dua to be maqbool, your dua will also be maqbool. You said, Allah accept everyone's dua, Allah will make your dua accepted as well. Sleep well, because again, this is the ninth day. This is the ninth night. The tenth is a little bit tough, right? You're going to wake up, you're going to pray Fajr and Muzdalifah. You're going to stand there for Muzdalifah, a little dua you're going to make called the wukuf. After Fajr, you're going to make dua. Very short dua you can make, whatever dua you did in Arafah, you make it again, no problem, right? Make dua again and again, right? This is the point. Learn to be a good slave of Allah, make dua again and again, okay? On the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, this is the day of sacrifice. I want to ask everyone a question. What is everyone doing around the world? Qurbani, Eid. Why is Eid being performed? It's beautiful. MashaAllah, you brothers and sisters are going for Hajj. Everyone is celebrating the qabuliyat of your Hajj. Everyone is accept making, they are thanking Allah because they let your Hajj be accepted, subhanAllah. This is why we celebrate Eid, that we can enjoy in your happiness, mashallah. Because this day is a very important day, right? Very, very important. This day, mashallah, this is the day where you're going to get out your ihram, etc. There are four things you're going to do. You're going to pelt, yeah, the seven times at the big pillar. I'll get there, inshallah. It's like the last one. You're not going to mess this up. Okay, if you have any questions about this, you're not going to mess this up, okay? Don't get nervous. You're going to go up an escalator, right? You're going to go back to, first, you're going to go back to Mina. When you head back to Mina, you'll need just about 5 more minutes, inshallah, we'll be done. When you head to Mina again, you're going to go up the escalator. You're going to go up there, you're going to see, again, hundreds and thousands of people all walking towards the pillars. There's these huge, huge, yeah, monuments, huge, big structures that are there, right? You're going to walk and walk, right? And you're going to keep walking straight, okay? On the day of the 10th, how many pillars are there? There are three pillars. Okay. On the day of the 10th, you're only going to pelt the biggest one, which is the last one. Okay. You're going to walk past everything. Don't worry about weirdos. Random people are going to be pelting everything. Someone's going to throw their chappal at it. No problem. People are going to throw their sandals. Some people are throwing crazy things. They're thinking they're killing shaitan or something. I don't know what they're thinking. One or two people are going to do something random. Just keep walking. Okay. You're going to reach the last one, and then you're going to see everyone doing that. Okay. Don't worry. You're not going to get, trust me. It's not complicated because everyone's going to do the right thing, inshallah. The majority of people know what to do. Okay? You go there and then you pelt it seven times. Okay? And you keep walking. No dua after this one. We'll talk about when you make dua. But after you pelt the seventh one, the seventh seven stones on the 10th day, just keep walking and go down. You're going to go up the escalator and go down the escalator. Okay? So you're going to go from Mina. And I'll talk about that in detail. Thereafter, you're going to slaughter your animal. The slaughtering of the animal will be given by a phone call for you. So the Hajj group will tell you. Thereafter, you're going to shave, right? That's when you get to finally cut your hair and stuff like that. After you cut your hair, what is done now? Your ihram is done, okay? Your ihram is basically done. The only thing is that having relations with family, we'll talk about that. It has to be done with one extra thing. But basically, now after that moment, you can put on your regular clothes and do everything regularly after that. And the last thing, which is the tawaf, we'll talk about each one. When you head back to Mina, after Fajr, you're gonna get there. You'll have breakfast. You'll have your breakfast, inshallah. Then you'll, inshallah, see how far your tent is from your tent all the way to the Jamarat area. This is the thing that I tell you, subhanAllah. If I can give you one recommendation, get the habit of walking a couple of miles every day now. Okay, this is the time to prepare that you walk 3 or 4 miles. Why? Because the Jamarat walk, I don't know how far it'll be for you. It used to be that you get like the premium tents and then mashallah it's like 15 minutes away. 1-5, 15 minutes. But nowadays, because of the situation of this Nusuk app and things like all these different things that they're doing, right? They have 40 minutes, 50 minutes you might be walking. And you're gonna be walking with Ahliya with your family. It's not an easy walk, it's a very hot walk, right? So inshallah, mentally get ready for it. I might have to be walking for some time to get to the Jamarat area. You're gonna be walking there, grab some water, keep yourself refreshed. They have some golf carts that are going back and forth. You might be able to get on the cart and get on to go. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't get it. It's okay. But be mentally ready for that. So please, inshallah, walk. Going with Maulana Belly is very difficult. You know, the Maulana Belly, you know, it's very difficult. And it's very hard. You wanna, okay? You're gonna throw the pebbles at the big pillar. And when you reach the Jamara, again, the labbaik continues from the time you put an ihram in your hotel room, from the 8th all the way to the 10th until you reach the Jamara. You continue to say labbaik as much as you can, okay? After you pelt it, no dua after. The sunnah is to pelt from the morning time. So from after Ishraq time all the way to Dhuhr time. Make that inshallah, that, okay? Do it in the morning, get it done with. To delay is permissible, but as soon as you do in the morning. Okay, this one you're gonna do in the morning. Sacrifice an animal, you're gonna get the call, they're gonna tell you.
Helping any movement of the hand.
Go get there. They're good. Okay. Because I want to do all three in one together. The crazy stuff we've seen. Okay, the qurbani you're gonna do, which is the wajib one. This must be done. You paid for it. Generally, it's already been covered within your Hajj package. Okay, just be careful, of course. Be mindful if it's being done, of course. If you want to do the qurbani extra, again, you're musafir, you don't have to do. But if you'd like to do extra qurbani, that's up to you. Such extra ajr. A goat overseas, you know, it's like $100, $150. MashaAllah, you feed like a whole family, subhanAllah, you know. If you'd like to, inshallah, it's up to you. You don't have to do. But the udhiyah, the damu shukr, the wajib one that you have to do for Hajj, that's the one that's being done right now. Does that make sense? So you could do two if you want, but you have to do your one for your Hajj. Okay? Finally, when you're done with that, when the call comes in, you are now, mashallah, able to get out of your ihram. So there'll be barber shops in your Mina tents. And outside, you're going to see a huge area for barber. And you can go there and you can shave your head. Okay? For the woman, they're going to take their finger just a little bit. They're going to take from the edge. They're going to grab all their hair together and then just wrap a little bit of the end around their finger and just cut that much. Just a little bit like this. Okay? Just this much. It's not a lot they need to cut. That much and they cut and they're done. Okay? For men, again, I recommend to shave completely, right? People have this question that I did my Umrah first, and after Umrah, you generally don't have any hair, right? So they say that, what are we going to be cutting for Hajj? The common question, right? You can do after your Umrah, if you like, you can shave completely. And then when you come to Hajj, you're just going to run the blade over your head, right? It's very painful, mashallah. You get rewarded for it, right? You can also, in your Umrah, if you like, just cut 1/4 in your Umrah, right? When you cut after your Umrah, you can cut 1/4. And then in your Hajj, just cut fully. That might be easier for you and you feel more of the experience, okay? And this is something I want to remind for everyone. Please, inshallah ta'ala, cut your hair, okay? Like people, unfortunately, today, they spend this much money and they don't think about the ajr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the person who shaved their head fully 3 times. And for the one who just trimmed his hair, meaning he cut a little bit after Hajj, Rasulullah only made dua for him 1 time. SubhanAllah. So this is the thing, I know it's a struggle, sacrifice. It's everyone's sacrifice, right? You're not going to trust me when you and I die. We're not going to care about the hair anymore. This is what you remind yourself, right? This is what Hajj is about. I'm thinking about maut, that we're going to leave this world. So keeping this in mind, please come back with the full Hajj. You spend so much money, come back with the Maqbul Hajj. Okay, I know it's difficult. Allah make it easy for everyone, okay? After you're done with this, most ihram is done. You can take it off. You can put on regular clothes, put on perfume, shower, shampoo, everything. That's why in your small luggage, make sure you have your small little shampoos and things like that you can shower normally afterwards. Does that make sense? Your small luggage again is in Mina, right? You take it and you have your regular clothes in there. You put it back on, alhamdulillah, you're fine, okay? The only thing is that in order to have relations, meaning to meet your spouse again, you must finish tawafu ziyara, which is the fard tawaf. You did your tawaf for Umrah. You did your tawaf for Umrah. Now you're going to do one tawaf for your Hajj. It's called tawafu ziyara, okay? You go back to Mecca. You can do it on the 10th. You go back to Mecca. If you like, you can do it on the 10th. Perform your tawaf. Okay, in this tawaf, are you wearing your ihram clothes? Back in normal. Okay, everyone's gonna be normal. The only weird guy is the one who still has ihram on. I don't know why he has it. Okay, this stuff you see, no problem. Okay, when you do your tawaf, just remember, of course, you don't need to uncover the right arm because you don't have the ihram clothes on, right? But the first three rounds, you're still going to do a little bit of ramal. Ramal means you're going to be jogging a little bit. Does everyone know about this ramal issue? The aspect, right, when you make tawaf? For men, right? For women, they walk normally. But the first three rounds around tawaf, you're going to be jogging a little bit like this. Just a little bit of light jog for the first three rounds for your tawaf, okay? It's called ramal. You're going to walk around, you're going to be jogging a little bit for the first three. For this is always in tawaf, even if you're ihram, non-ihram. Does that make sense for everyone? This is for your tawaf, okay? You're going to do your sa'i again as well. You're going to go between Safa and Marwa. Now, you can imagine how many people are there on the tent. The crowd is enormous, it's immense, okay? You can do it on the 10th, you could do it on the 11th, you could do it on the 12th. You have until the 12th to finish it, okay? My recommendation for everyone, especially because if you're going with family, sometimes going in the night, sometimes going the night after, it's more comfortable because it's going to take you at least 1 hour, 2 hours, maybe even 3 hours, right? It takes you some time to finish it. So be mentally ready for that. So go at nighttime, inshallah. Does that make sense for everybody? Okay? It's easier for you. And you have until the 12th. They have different bus routes. The bus will be going at different times, and you can join the bus. And at that time, you'll be back in Mecca. If you want to go to your hotel to grab something, you can do that as well. Okay? The only thing is that you should come back to Mina at night. Because right? Again, the sunnah is to stay at Mina. And don't miss that, right? So come back to Mina with the bus. Is that okay for everybody? Tawaf ziyarah, again, we talked about it. And we'll do the ramal, we talked about the jogging. Don't do the ittiba. You can go to the hotel to shower if you want. But return to Mina, of course, to spending the night there. The big issues for sisters. That the thing is that if they are menstruating at this time, and I highly recommend for sisters that if you find yourself that your cycle is going to start at the time of the 10th of the Hijjah, okay, if you know that that's when your monthly cycle will start around that time, which is like the 15th of June, I think, 15th, 16th of June. If you know that that's your cycle time, if you need to take medication, you need to talk to a doctor to see that you can pause your menstrual cycle for that time because you have to go back into Masjid Haram and you need to go in there so you cannot be in your Hayd, your monthly cycle. Okay, is a big issue if a sister starts menstruating in that time when she needs to go back to the Masjid Haram. Because then she can't go in there. She has to do her tawaf. How can she do it? Right? Then she ends up in a big, big musibah. So please, sisters, be mindful of that. If this is, you know, this is going to happen, be ready for it mentally. So that way you prepare for this. We had one sister, subhanAllah, elderly sister. She started her monthly cycle again in her Hajj. And subhanAllah, at that time, she had to do her tawaf. She was crying. She didn't know what to do. Of course, we gave her a solution. It's a very costly solution. It costs a lot because you have to pay a penalty for it, right? So it's not easy. So please, sisters, be mindful of this issue. If your menstrual cycle is going to happen, be careful of this, inshallah ta'ala, okay? Is that clear for everybody? 10th is a difficult day. 11th and 12th, you're in Mina again. All you...
For 10, we are doing four things: belting, qurbani, then shaving, and then
Tawaf.
and we have to do it same order, right?
Yes, the order is important for us.
Yeah. So, but like they do qurbani sometimes early morning or something. So for that.
It's okay, whatever's in your control. Ultimately, I tell you, subhanAllah, like especially so our madhhab particularly, we're very sensitive about the order. That which Rasulullah did, we don't want to move from that order. So keeping this in mind, what happens is that they might even slaughter so early. You might not even know. They just give you the phone call later. It's not something that's in your control. So don't worry about that too much, okay?
This is the side you do right on the
Then
Sa'i, yes. You have to do your sa'i.
one more question. Again, the tawaf you're doing in a you know,
No.
you don't have clothing.
No. You're done after that.
I mean the clothing.
The clothing,
Okay, you can change it to normal clothing. The other question is in Mina when we are moving from Mina to Arafat and Muzdalifah, our bags are still in Mina.
Yes.
They're safe or
They're safe. They're safe. Again, I tell you, just be careful. Of course, inshallah, you have your luggage there. If you'd like to put a lock on it, you can. But generally, you don't have to worry too much. Again, keep everything that's important to you on your person. And so you don't have to fall into some issue at the end, right? Allah make it easy, of course. But just be mindful, okay? But just be safe. What?
just one more question, Sheikh. You said after making an impression, you cannot use any perfume or anything like that, right?
Yes.
But there are some medications like a spray, maybe if you get a muscle cramp, which have scent, which you may use to, which you may you need maybe to apply.
Yeah,
How is that?
so the medications that are required, right? So they have a bit of an exception to the rule. If there's a required medication, if you need to do it and it has some fragrance on it, that could be acceptable. I would ask, inshallah, if you can just forward the medication, we can look at it, inshallah, and let you know specifically, okay?
Some sprays.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, sometimes I get cramps.
Oh, okay.
So I spray some sprays which have scent.
Okay.
So I want
I
to.
would always recommend try to find something without scent if you can. If you can find, try to get something fragranceless if you can. And if not, inshallah, just send it to me. Let me look at it and I can let you know, okay? Okay.
Coming from the tent after putting a stone,
Ji.
coming in Makkah, the main
Hajj Tawaf.
main will be the Tawaf.
Yes.
There's the big
Yes. The big Tawaf.
big Tawaf, but still we don't know whether the Qurban is done. So can we do before Qurban
No.
the Tawaf?
No. You have to know. You
So
have to
we
know about the
wait
Qurbani
until
first.
the confirm, then we can
Yes.
talk.
Yes.
Shave
Yeah.
later.
Shaving
Tawafing is
also.
not a big, I mean.
Yeah, the main thing is like, yeah, you also your shaving cannot be done till the qurbani is done. So wait for that to be done, and then the shaving, and then the tawaf. Make sense?
Very particular in Qurbani. You get your door by 10 or
Yeah,
11.
they'll may let you know
So,
early.
not regular Umrah we do, or Tawaf, we do Tawaf first and then shaving at the end.
Yes.
But here it's shaving first and then.
Yes. Very good point.
Even
It's a
you
flip.
can do it on 11th or 12th.
Yeah. Afterwards is also fine. So keep in mind, of course, the Qurbani will be done early morning. They try to get it done right away. The mazbah, the slaughterhouse, is there. You could actually walk by it and you see it. They have it there and things like that. They try to do it in early morning.
Any day we come to Makkah,
You can do your
if
toss.
it's 10, 11, 12,
Yeah.
we can stay only after Isha. We pray Isha in a Kaaba. We have to move to the
Back to
Mina.
Mina.
At
Come
least
back to Mina.
we can stay until Isha.
Yes.
Pray Isha in Jama.
If you can, I mean, again, you have to think about the crowd and things like that. So just be mindful.
Now, in the
Anyway.
tent, even if we do the Tawaf, we can stay until the before midnight.
Yes. Come back before, after Isha, come back to Mina. Because it's sunnah to spend a night in Mina.
So, Qurbani, you're saying our tour guide is going to do it. Are we able to do one ourselves?
No. You're not going to even get a chance to. Like, so I don't think they want to take any risk of people taking blades for themselves and stuff like that. Because, like, you have to think about how many people are there. Millions, right? Millions are doing the Qurbani. So, in a previous time, you'd bring your animal and slaughter yourself. Nowadays, there's no option for that. It's a very good question. Okay, just one last piece, inshallah, and then we'll be done, okay? 11th and 12th, after the 10th, just going to be pelting. The morning, you just, meaning after Dhuhr. Okay, the second and the 11th and 12th days, your pelting will start after Dhuhr namaz, after Dhuhr salah, after Zawal. Prior to that, there is no time for it. There's no time early morning. On the 11th and 12th again, after Dhuhr, you start. Okay? You can do from, it's not permissible before noon. It's a lot of congestion between Dhuhr and Asr. You can do after Asr too, it's fine. Okay? That's okay. Try to do it during the daytime. After Maghrib, it becomes makruh. Right? So try to do it during the daytime, Dhuhr or Dhuhr to Asr, or Asr after to Maghrib. Okay? You go there, inshallah ta'ala, you're gonna pelt all three now. Each one you're gonna hit seven times. So you go to the first one. Okay. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Very light. Okay, you have to make sure to hit the pillar. Right? So just hit it, so like this, and that's it, right? It's like the jump shot, you know. Just make it nice enough. Okay, mashallah. So then yeah, you do like this, okay? You're gonna see some people launching Hail Marys, you're gonna see someone throwing a sandal. Someone spinning around and throwing, some people making videos. Ajib, they forget about their importance, right? This is ibadah. You know, Allah forgive, right? You know, you're gonna see some crazy stuff. Right? So my thing is again, very light. Just, you know, flick of the wrist. Just go over there. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and then you're done. Okay? When you're done with that, move back. Okay, go to an easy spot that you could stand for some time and make dua. Okay? Dua after the first one, dua after the second one. Okay? No dua after the third one. First, second, you make dua. Same dua as you're making, continue to make dua, okay? But people will push you and shove you. That's why I tell you to just move back. You can go to a nice spot for yourself and just make dua.
What happens? The center of the throwing a spot, people will be maybe 50 meters back.
Yeah, people are
And
launching, they're
so
crazy too.
how can I do? I throw the stone, maybe not reach there.
You can get close as you can. That's all I recommend to you. You might be able to get to the edge. May have to wait because there are a lot of people there. Take your time, okay? It's not a rush, right? Wherever you get a chance to, if you have to throw from a little far, Just try your best to make sure you hit as far as you can to make sure it hits. Okay? But again, the closer the better. Just wait. It'll open up. Eventually people will move and then you get a chance. Okay? They might have to be a little bit patient with it. That's all. Okay, just, and some people are like hitting you in the back. I got hit with the stone. That was very annoying. Someone hit me in the back with the stone. You know, I probably thought I owe Shaitan. You know, Allah make it easy, right? So no, it's okay.
What about people getting angry or something? They're cursing.
It's okay, man. We're not here to curse back.
Yeah.
If people curse at us, alhamdulillah, mashallah, may God from me, brother. I'm already Gunagar. I already know myself. You know, just remind yourself, he's just telling me my reality. I was a bad person, and I know I'm a bad person. So, bus, don't get angry. Don't risk your Hajj. Please, don't risk your Hajj. It's recommended for wudu. You don't have to be in wudu. If your wudu breaks, it's okay. Don't have to worry about that. Okay? There's no place to make wudu, anyways. You're not going to get even a chance. Yes? Yeah, you're out of ihram. You've been out of ihram since the 10th. 11 and 12, you're also out of ihram.
Else you're doing on 11 besides
No, you're just there relaxed. Just chilling and relaxing. Everything is fine. You can do, make khatam of Quran for yourself, make some zikr and ibadah. Spend the time in ibadah, right?
during this day of Arafah, should we carry the Quran with us, or will we be able to
Carry a Quran with you.
from the person, I mean the, from the
Yes.
when we're leaving
Yes.
to the
Because you probably won't be able to get a chance to get one over there if you want to read Quran there.
why somebody in the Tawaf during Tawaf he chooses the Sajood. So will he start from again, or what will
For the tawaf. If you break your wudu during tawaf, you will, that's that round that you are in, okay? You're gonna go and make wudu and continue from the round that you are in. So if you're in number three, your wudu broke, you make wudu, come back, and you continue from number three. Don't reset. Okay? No resetting.
so during the bird sleeping, if some person has nightfall, what is the purpose of it?
Like some type of
Yes.
nocturnal, yeah. There are showers.
But the Iran will be in a park.
Yeah, just that's why I tell you carry two ihrams and wash the ihram. Again, like it'll dry up. People will be gonna, it's very much like a camp. People are gonna be hanging their clothes. It looks very weird. People are doing crazy things there. If they're doing crazy, you do crazy too. No problem, you know? Everyone, a little bit boggled right now, big deal. Go ahead.
The men and women of puppies together.
I recommend, this is the big thing for sisters, keep again your sisters with you and inshallah go for the pelting right together. The men and women are all gonna be pelting together. Again, there's such a huge crowd there, right? You're barely gonna move like so slow. So keeping your sisters with you is very important at that time. Okay? So this is again for 11th and 12th. You're definitely gonna leave by the 12th. If you're there after Maghrib, right, and you're staying there on the 12th by accident, like something like that happens, you have to stay for the 13th. Okay? But this is an optional day. Really, people are not gonna do it unless you wanted to do it. And I don't think many Hajj groups even bother with it, okay? If you're there for one extra day, you must pelt before you leave. You can do that one in the morning, but don't worry. If it happens, just let us know. We can give you some the masail for that, okay? But don't worry about that one too much. The main thing is that you're going to be pelting 10, 11, and 12. 10, 11, 12.
I have run it. I'm giving some experience.
Just really, let me finish this, uncle, then you can give the experience. This last thing, inshallah. Tawaf al-Wida. The final thing is that the bus will take you one last time to Mecca. You'll pack up at your hotel and everything like that. And you'll do one last tawaf that you can. They might do it earlier because, you know, it depends on their bus routes. That's okay. Whatever time you get, right? You make one last tawaf called tawaf al-wida, the tawaf of farewell. You're bidding farewell to Mecca. Okay, it's also called tawaf al-sadr because this tawaf has a lot of sharam and a lot of crying in it. Because, ya Allah, I don't know if I'm going to come back again. Okay? Allah, this hajj, was it accepted or not? So you go there. It's called tawaf al-sadr because you're actually supposed to face your chest towards the Kaaba at the end. You're supposed to walk backwards, facing your chest towards the Kaaba, saying, "Ya Allah, this might be the last time I come to the area of the Kaaba. Might be the last time I do Hajj. Ya Allah, please accept this, Ya Rabbal Alameen." They walk back like this, crying. Okay? You walk back as much as you can, because after a while you might trip over and die. That could actually be your last tawaf. Okay? So please, inshallah, a little bit you do, and then inshallah, just turn around and continue walking back home. Okay? So then again, it's wajib for men and women. If they are menstruating at this time, they don't have to do this tawaf. If her cycle starts at this moment, completely fine. She can leave this one. Okay. It happened to Safiya, the wife of Rasulullah SAW, our mother, radiallahu anha. She ended up having her menstrual cycle. And then, and so Rasulullah SAW said, no problem. You can get going. It's okay. After this, your Hajj is complete. That's it. Okay. It's very, very short. Really, the 5 days, the main thing is that keep in mind for about the 9th and the 10th, which are the big actions. And the 11th and 12th, again, the penalty. Okay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, they put this but on not about men and women are also together or
Men and women are the tents are going to have a separate area for the women. Okay. Separate area for the men. Okay. But the tents are going to be right next to each other.
Arafat, like.
On Arafah. There's a partition inside the tent. Right. So Muzdalifah is just open. Everyone is just mixed. Right. So keep mindful of that one.
Left towards any
Before you go, just
mean, there's no like,
no, I mean, those could be like souvenirs. Depends on
that's legal for
that's
you.
legal for you. But yeah, I think I have like some of them at home. Because I don't know, like you can also just dispose them back into the area of wherever you are in Mina. Because they'll collect the stones and put them back. They put them back in Muzdalifah area for people to use, right? Yeah, go ahead.
On the 11th or the 13th in the Mina, we combine, it's a shortened prayer, but they can combine those prayers.
No, at Mina you don't combine. Again, the only time you combine is on the day of Arafah. That's the only time. But again, Dhuhr and Asr, we don't combine if you can't catch with the Imam. Most likely, you're not going to catch. So, Dhuhr and Asr, you're going to pray separately. Maghrib, Isha, you're going to pray together. Okay? Any other question, God?
Yes, sir. If for example, by any bad chance you fall sick and you cannot walk during the walks in the mountain, what happens to you? For example, if you fall sick, you cannot walk, is your hijab acceptable?
If your Hajj is, if you get sick during the time of when you need to walk to Arafah or Muzdalifah,
You can't go there, for
you
example.
should immediately let your Hajj group leader know because they'll make arrangements for you to be traveled to these areas. Because if you miss this, then your Hajj is complete. You do another Hajj. You understand? Like you have to come back next year
Oh.
and do this again. Yeah, it's very difficult. So they will make arrangements for you. People get sick all the time. They'll bring you there. Even by ambulance, they'll bring you there. Okay.
In Mina, they give you drinks so far. They also give you blanket there. Or you have to
No,
bring
no blankets.
nowhere, so we have to bring.
Yeah. So the rule is that if it's cold, you can always put clothes on, right? But when it gets hot, there's only so many clothes you can take off. Okay? So when you basically, you can control the cold to a certain degree. So carry some blankets and things like that. So inshallah, you feel a little bit, mashallah, having like a sweater after Ihram, of course, these are beneficial things, right? Because when an AC is on, you can't really, it's tough, very tough. Okay. Any other questions? Just one more, just a question, and then
This is just for sister. If they're in Memphis and they couldn't do the tawaf here, what's the dump? What?
the dhamma is a very, very difficult thing, and I just mentioned it again so you're aware. But again, I hope that you don't even have to go through this. Is that she will go for the? She will do her tawaf, cover her full body as much as she can fully, and she will make her tawaf. And at the end, she has to give a badana, a sacrifice of a camel. Right, it's like $5,000, huge, right? And so it's very, very costly. It's very, very difficult. The sister that we were with, she was someone who was way past the age. SubhanAllah, she started again. She started crying. She said, "What am I going to do?" And I advised her, because our madhab is a little bit strong on this issue. I advised her that there are other madhab here. She said, "No, I want strictly what you say, Maulana." So I told her that this is the thing. She said, "I'll do exactly what you said." So she paid 5,000, SubhanAllah, and she did this for the camel. Allahu Akbar, right? Allah the reward. These people, mashallah, making sacrifice. So it's a lot. You've already paid someone, SubhanAllah. Imagine this happens afterwards, right? Allah make it easy, of course.
Yeah. During the stoning, those 3 days, that there are so many things happen. People die because of, so this is a reminder for everyone. So no one go to, if something you lost, shoes or any wallet, anything, do not go to grab, bow and grab from the ground.
Yeah.
Then you will not able to stand up anymore.
Very
And
important.
then you'll be dead.
That's
So
right.
do not try to take anything from the, try
Very,
to
very important.
recover anything from the ground on that vicinity where the stoning area especially.
Very, very important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
And especially those of the elderly people, if any are going with you.
Think people may have heard
Remember
of, people might have heard of people getting trampled, right? This is where it happens, this area there. Be careful, inshallah, to protect all of us.
Can go basically. I mean, you cannot stand up again.
You can
There's
go
so
down.
many
There's
people coming here, like,
so much
no one will
push.
help you. No one will help you to pick you up.
Even people might even know you're there. It's
No
very, very
one will be
scary.
able to pick you up. But Lord, he has so many
No, Alhamdulillah.
opportunities like this.
No, Alhamdulillah.
They have
Yeah.
because they have made separate entrances
Yes.
one way
It's
and
one
another.
way. Yeah. And Alhamdulillah, really, don't get scared. Like, don't be hard scared, like, oh my God, I want to die. You know? Like, it's one of, a lot of uncles, they go there with the niyyah to die. It's crazy. Ajeeb. Ajeeb, right? Yeah. So just be mindful. Again, it's not scary. Inshallah, you should be fine. Just don't do something crazy, right? Okay.
Anybody staying for the 13th of pelting, so 13 after what time we can start pelting for
In the morning, after
in the
sunrise,
morning?
you can do that one.
So when you are in the Ihram and, you know, be careful of what doesn't make, but by mistake or unknowingly you have made smaller mistakes, just for precaution, what's the dam or what's the sadaqah you are
The
carrying?
sadaqah amount that you have to give, and I recommend again after your hajj, just give some sadaqah anyways, right? The amount is very low, so don't worry, it's not a lot. I think roughly when I calculated it, because when brothers went for Umrah, they asked, because the amount is the same roughly, right? Roughly $8 is the amount, right? So we tell people give like $20, maybe even $50 if you want to be careful, okay? So there are certain jinaya offices, they have certain offices that you give the penalty to. So that's what you want to give, inshallah. You can also give the sadaqah out by yourself as well, right? So if you want to see poor people, you can give it to them also. That's fine. Okay. Be careful when you give to poor people in the vicinity of more poor people. Because if you do it in the presence of more poor people, they'll start following you to take more. Okay. I was chased down by 10 or 15 people in
Yeah,
Masjid Nabawi. Oh, so I was running in the crowd. I was running. I was like, it was, yeah. So just be careful when you give a very, very.
like one day before or something like this.
Ji.
So what about, like, if for example we have a flight after 2 3 days, so we have to do it
If you
on.
can, the thing is that if you have a couple of days, then do it at the end that you're going to leave. It is the last one. Alhamdulillah, for those who are leaving from Mecca, you have that availability. People are going to Medina afterwards, you don't really have that option, right? So you do whenever you get a chance. But it should be ideally be the last one.
But for example, like if it's over early in the morning next day, so we can do after Isha or something.
Yeah, anytime is fine. There's no restriction to make Hajj for Tawaf.
Tawaf, the Bida, we're not back to the Kaaba for any prayer or anything. No.
No, you're
That's the
basically
last
done. It should be the last
thing.
thing.
After Tawaf, the Bida, we cannot even do the Umrah again if we wanted to.
No. It's really the last one. You'll make your 2 rakats for Tawaf. Everyone knows after Tawaf, you pray 2 rakats after Maqam Ibrahim, right? That's the last thing you're doing, and then you're done. Okay? It really should be the last thing.
You do it.
You can do more Umrah if you're staying there. If you're staying in Makkah, you can do more Umrahs. You can go to Masjid Aisha and do more Umrahs. That's fine. The more rewarding thing than the Umrahs, though, it is to do Tawaf. Keep that in mind. People have a very much happiness to do Umrah. But again, the more rewarding thing is the Tawaf. Okay? So people like to do Umrah on behalf of other people. And it is a nice intention, mashallah. So, but you don't really have to, it's okay.
So we can do as many as Tawaf.
As many tawaf?
Yeah,
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. As many tawaf as you want, inshallah.
one set is seven.
Ji.
Seven now.
Yeah.
Then we start. We can start
Yeah.
again new Tawaf.
Ideally, though, just remember, just if I didn't make it clear, after the 12th, you can start doing your umrahs again. If you want to do more umrahs, yeah, don't do it during the 11th and 12th, because those are the days of Hajj. Does that make sense? Yeah, do them after.
Or before.
Or before.
Our
Or
Umrah will be
maybe.
us.
Yeah, you can do like 10. And mashallah, 2 people. I think in our group, we did like 4 umrahs before the Hajj. Mashallah. You know? It's tough. Allah to reward them. Mashallah. Any other question?
After 12, we can do multiple Umrahs and then Tawaf at
Yes.
any other question?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was asking on Mount Arafat during Dua, that's when, like, people will still be together then with their families.
Yes. Yes, but be careful if you go again to the mountain. Just keep your family with you. Yeah. But again, it might be very hot for them too. You have to understand, man. When you get past 100 degrees, life has become different in the Gi. It's a completely different life. It becomes very challenging. So, sisters, again, mashallah, they should take all the comfort that Sharia gives them. They're not obligated to do any of these things, right? No. Yeah, go ahead.
Right now, the setup is people who go from Umrah, they say that they only allow you in Mataf area when you are in the town.
Yeah.
Hope they open up the first time.
No, they will definitely have to open up during Hajj time.
Exactly, because
Yeah, the Mataf area, someone asked that same question. They're like, will they open up? I said, yeah, they have to open up. Everyone's gonna be wearing normal clothes. Inshallah. Inshallah. Allah make it easy. Again, I don't want to promise anything because I give you expectation. I go there and you say, Mullah lied to me. You know, I'm joking, of course. But the thing is, like, just if anything happens, just
what
sabr,
happened
sabr.
to this, like people were saying, like on the 10th they open it for everybody,
Everyone.
but like normally they only allow people with ihram on the mataf area.
Ji, that makes sense. Can you go ahead, what?
Okay. Can you just like briefly explain the Quran?
Quran. Okay, so very quickly, inshallah. Is everyone, if anyone needs to go, you can go if you want to. I hope you benefited, of course. Sisters, do you have inshallah? Please, inshallah. Hajj Quran is that you will go there with your ihram and you remain in your ihram the whole time. So you do your umrah, but at the end, when you're supposed to shave, you do not shave. Okay. Sister, I have a question.
The
Yes, we'll send the
slides.
slides. Shreve will send the slides to you, okay? You can use them, sure. May Allah accept everyone's Hajj. And please remember us in your du'as too. Allah
Are you
accept.
in our WhatsApp group?
No, I'm not in the, I'm in the email group.
But email, I sent in the email. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you are in the email of ICB email, right?
ICB email, yeah.
Inshallah, I'll check
Okay.
where did I